Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The big one each day at 1 o'clock on Grant and Danny, your biggest story in DC sports. Today, that is clearly the Redskins losing to the Eagles and falling to 0-1. We'll get back into the Skins in just a minute. But there is another big story in town, and that is that the Nationals have won a division title.
4 times in 6 years.
Winners of 7 of their last 10. They put the finishing touches on the East because the Marlins are just free-falling losers of 8 of their last 10. And it seems like they gained 2 games in the magic number count every single night for the last week. The Marlins are 7 games under .500. So the easy thing to say is, well, it's a terrible division. You can beat up on the Phillies. You can pound the Mets. You can thrash the Braves. And you can shellack the Marlins. And you should win 95 games. And that's probably a fair critique, to be completely honest with you. But it also takes away from what the Nats have done, which is have a tremendous season of player development in their minor league staff led by Doug Harris. And the general manager, Mike Rizzo, did a great job making trades to bring in Kinsler, Madsen, Doolittle to that bullpen, Kendrick in the outfield, Edwin Jackson to the rotation. It takes away from the 30-homer, 100-RBI year with the 300 average that Ryan Zimmerman's going to have. Bryce Harper was on pace to be the MVP potentially in the NL at 29 jacks, 87 batted in, hitting .326 with a 1,000 OPS when he got hurt. Anthony Rendon's going to finish in the top 10 in MVP voting, a .300 season with 90 runs batted in and 72 runs scored and an OPS of .938. Daniel Murphy's going to end up 25 homers, 95 RBI, a .320 hitter. Michael Taylor broke out this year. Brian Goodwin was way better than you would have thought.
Wilmer Adam Defoe Lind, yeah.
Was a godsend. Adam Lind has been awesome off the bench. Trey Turner was maybe the one guy that had a disappointing season, and he's going to end up being one of the league leaders in stolen bases despite missing a bunch of time. Matt Wieters has been better than anyone would have thought behind the plate. From a pitching standpoint, Steven Strasburg has not allowed a run in 34 innings and now has a 2.6 ERA. Gio Gonzalez has one of the 5 best earned run averages in baseball. Max Scherzer's probably going to win a second straight Cy Young Award. That's the core of your rotation. Tanner Roark having a very strong second half. And then from a bullpen standpoint, as we mentioned, Kinsler, Doolittle, Madsen, maybe the best triumvirate in the back end the Nats have had going into a postseason in years. Matt Albers, 56 appearances, leads the team, 1.66 ERA.
He was a godsend, man.
Where did that come
from? When it was reeling and bad. I mean, I always talk about this. Not all jump shots in basketball are created equal. In other words, like if the offense is flowing and a guy knocks down a shot to put you up 20, his shooting percentage goes up or down based on what that was. There are times when no one could do anything right. And Matt Albers was the stopper. Mm-hmm. He's going to be an unsung hero for this team, but when nothing was going well in that bullpen, every day it was what the hell's going to go wrong tonight, he came in and was a stabilizing force.
Yeah, he really was. And we're going to give you a very special DC quick pitch today celebrating the Nats winning the division, which you'll be able to hear at play.it, also available on iTunes. You can grab it at thefandc.com. It'll be posted probably around 3 to 3:30 or so this afternoon, so make sure you give it a listen before tonight's game. But congratulations to the Nats. We take for granted in years like this, just because we've known for a while that it was going to happen,
mm-hmm.
when a team gets to the playoffs and wins a division. Or, as I said, to begin this conversation, we look at the rest of the foes in the East and we say, oh, but they should have won the division. The rest of the division stinks. Who cares?
Yeah.
You can either do it in style like they are, which is surge down the stretch, dominate the teams you're supposed to, have a Cy Young Award winner on your team. Have an MVP on your team if Bryce didn't get hurt. Do it with a bunch of guys having career years hitting over 300, which is what's happening. Or you could kind of limp to the playoffs in a way where no one thinks you're that good. They're now within 4 games of a Dodgers team. They play a 3-game series against Friday, Saturday, Sunday this coming weekend at Nats Park. I mean, how big is that series? You realize, you know, I do the host the national baseball shows on MLB Network Radio.
Uh-huh.
They called me this week and said, hey, we're going to do special broadcasts from Nats Park that weekend. Can you do a pregame show live from the field ahead of Nats Dodgers on that Friday night? They never do shows like that in the regular season.
Pretty neat.
But guess what? They're going to now because the top two teams in the NL are going to be battling for home field advantage throughout the National League postseason.
Think about all the injuries. And so what would you rather have? Like if you go, yeah, they're supposed to win the division by a lot. Okay. You have all the injuries. You have all the man games missed. You want to be the Mets? It changed the direction of their franchise. 27 games under 500. 25 games behind the Washington Nationals. In fourth place in the division. This was a team, by the way, before the season started. I go, on paper, I think the Mets are better than the Nationals. A little bit, because you've got the same kind of pitching, cancels each other out, and then you've got a few more boppers in the lineup. Well, that has proved to be completely incorrect. The Mets have traded off pieces and are starting over again. This was a window. They thought they were going to compete for a couple years with the Nationals, back and forth, head to toe. Nope. Changed the direction of their franchise. That's how it could have gone for the Nationals with all the injuries that has happened. Credit to Dusty. Credit to Mike Rizzo. Credit to guys like Gio and Ryan Zimmerman having renaissance seasons when we kind of thought they were going in a certain direction, and they did a complete 180.
What it's an amazing awesome. Year for Gio.
Awesome. I could not be happier for those two guys. That's what I'm going to think of when I think of this season. Is the 2017 year to me was about Zim and Gio, two of the great guys that you always want around, that you always pull for, because we've gotten to know them a little bit off the field, just the privilege of this gig, and it killed them when they weren't as successful as they wanted to be, and letting their teammates down and this fan base or whatever. These guys have been through the ups and downs, and to have them get this level of up, where Gio's a Cy Young finisher and Zim is a mash machine over at first base with a year he hasn't had in five or six seasons, and he's been healthy. Awesome to see. Just so cool.
You mentioned this earlier. Everyone's now very excited about the possibility of catching the free-falling Dodgers, who have lost 10 straight games.
15 of 16.
They cannot win right now. They were on pace to be the best regular season team in the history of baseball before they lost 15 of these 16 games. Suddenly, though, if the Nats were to catch the Dodgers, which is a possibility for sure.
It's not off the table.
They would have to play Arizona if, and there's a lot of ifs here,
mm-hmm.
but assuming Arizona wins a wild card play-in game, they would be the one seed at that point if they caught the Dodgers, and then the Diamondbacks would play, let's say, the Rockies.
Or Milwaukee or somebody right. else, but yeah.
But as of this moment, it's the Rockies three games better than the Brewers and the most likely team.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it's the Diamondbacks against the Rockies in the play-in game. The Diamondbacks very good, win that game, okay? Then they'd get the Nats games 1-3, potentially ending there, and if necessary, games 4 and 5. In a five-game division series, the Diamondbacks would come in rolling. They've won 8 of their last 10. They'd come in hot. They're not much worse than the Dodgers, frankly. Maybe I'm crazy. I would rather play the Cubs. The Cubs are the defending World Series champions. This is not their year. They're a little bit of a different team. Wade Davis has replaced their oldest Chapman back of their bullpen. They've lost 3 in a row, 6 of 10 in their own right. They're about 11 games over 500. You've seen that the Nats stack up and play them pretty well this regular season, whereas the Diamondbacks had no fear and went out and hit 3 straight home runs to start a game against Max Scherzer. I'd rather play the Cubs than the D-backs. And it's too early, and there's too many permutations to start really worrying about all of this. But what is your thought as everyone kind of all day long today is going, we might catch the Dodgers. Woohoo! I'm thinking, slow down on that. I don't know that that's the best thing. I'm okay with being a 2 seed and playing the Cubs.
Yeah. To me, you could talk yourself into anything. I mean, if Wilson Contreras comes back and is healthy, I mean, he's killed the Nationals. So I don't necessarily want to – wouldn't be excited going into a series with the potential of Contreras, Rizzo, Bryant, and name that fourth guy.
It's
with the Jason Hayward.
You're facing a tough team. Everything's scary.
And that's my point. Everything scares me. So it's the postseason. To me, though, I want to avoid – the team that A is on fire, B has Greinke, Robbie Ray, and Godley kind of just rolling out there for the Diamondbacks. That's a group that is dangerous. They have no fear, as you touched on. They're the only team that's played the Dodgers enough times, more than 4 games, that has a winning record against them. They pushed them around. Plus, here's the other part. The Dodgers right now are in a swoon. There's still a few weeks left in the season. They absolutely could get right again. They've still got some time to kind of to right the ship. I hope it continues, by the way, and they go into the toilet and that's that someone you don't have to worry about. But goodness gracious, I'm not writing their epitaph just yet, is what I would say.
A couple of the top storylines around the country right now in sports. We're going to grade the Redskins' offense and defense at 118, and you'll hear chunks of our conversation with Kirk Cousins from today at 130 right here on Grant and Danny on the Fan. Via ESPN.com, in response to Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott's preliminary injunction on Friday, blocking the NFL's 6-game suspension for violating the personal conduct policy. We haven't talked about that, but it doesn't sound like he's going to have to serve a suspension this year. The NFL is apparently going to file an appeal with the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, meaning the league now wants to fight that ruling to try to get Ezekiel Elliott suspended as soon as possible and perhaps as soon as week two. Good luck with that. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. I talked to D. Smith of the NFLPA on the sideline at FedEx Field yesterday. He told me he is working hard to try to get the owners to come together to decide, even though there is a CBA in place, that this needs to be changed because the commissioner has too much power and is abusing and misusing it. Now, I'm not sure that owners are going to do that, but you've had Bountygate. That's one team that's pissed. You've had cap scandal problems with the Redskins and the Saints, the Cowboys, and other teams. Raiders, I think, were in on that as well. You've got Ezekiel Elliott, Tom Brady. I mean, there's a growing list of owners that might be willing to help the NFLPA out on that regard. Also, T.J. Watt yesterday had a historical game. This is J.J.'s little brother.
Yep.
This guy's going to be a stud.
I was mocked, by the way, when I said that that could be somebody that the Redskins could take at 17. Not in Jonathan Allen division.
Right.
I was roundly dismissed. That guy can play.
Third player to record two sacks and an interception in his NFL debut. He was awesome for Pittsburgh against the Browns yesterday. Conor McGregor's being sued over a bottle toss press event. He threw a bottle like toward the back of a room at some guy he was talking trash to, a fighter, and it hit someone, so he's getting sued for that. And one injury in the Redskins game that is getting a lot of attention today. Ronald Darby got carted off after that gruesome dislocation of his ankle.
That was brutal.
How gross was that to watch?
Apparently only 4 to 6 weeks. I thought that was a season ender.
Dislocation's way better than, I guess, breaks.
I
didn't know that. I thought it was the other way around. But you pop it back in place, you rehab, and you get ready. I definitely thought his year was done. He could be back in 4 games. That would be amazing.
Amazing.
So good for him. He's a local guy. I'm pulling for him. We'll grade the Redskins' offense and their defense next. If you've got letter grades for either side of the ball you want to churn out, give them to us. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.